North Sound 1380 traffic.
Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth racing side by side for second off turn two. Trouble. Here comes Junior and Kenseth spinning off turn two.
Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth spinning down the middle of the back straightaway. Matt Kenseth lost control of the car. He and Jeff Gordon got together. They go spinning into the corner in turn number three.
Gordon's car is absolutely demolished down there on the inside of turn two, Rob Albright.
Good evening, my cats and kitties. Welcome back to the March 6th edition of North Sound Racing. Steve Mortland here in the studio along with Carla Heath, Galen Stewart. First time in the 2008 season you guys have been in here. This is going to be an awesome show. We got so much going on tonight, but
I feel like we're at the CNN hot office.
I know, it feels good. The pressure and we're just ready to go. But man, do we have some breaking news for you guys.
The scoop.
Yeah, the scoop of scoops. We are going to bring in our friend we met a couple weeks ago when we were out at Evergreen Speedway for their general membership meeting. He is the motorsports writer for the Everett Herald. Scott Whitmore is on the line. You with us there, Scott?
I am here.
Cool. Well, you want to bust the news that happened in the past couple days in regards to some huge, huge changes out at Evergreen Speedway?
Yeah, the big news is that Mickey Beadle, who has been whose family started International Productions Inc. (IPI), which operates the motorsports there at the Speedway. Mickey Beadle has agreed to sell IPI to Lex Johnson, who is a 12-year driver on and off at Evergreen Speedway and is the owner of Concept Racing and Graphics. The deal is not finalized because the Speedway, because it sits on the fairgrounds, actually belongs to the county, and so they're going to need to get county approval for what's termed the assignment of the contract to Lex as the new owner. But I spoke to Mickey and Lex today, and both are confident that there won't be any problems getting the county to agree to that. So it looks like after 30 years of operating Evergreen Speedway, we're going to have somebody new out there running the show.
That's just unbelievable. You know, of course, some rumors have been going around for years about how, you know, Mickey would like to cut back. You know, and I know Mickey and I, we had a pretty heart-to-heart chat up at the WARP conference. I believe it was either last October or last November. And you know, we both lost our dads last year, and his mom passed away several years ago. And I can only imagine how tough it is. And I remember making a comment when I had a moment to speak at the WARP thing, and all of the big players, the promoters and owners of racetracks from all over the Pacific Northwest were there, and I remember commenting to him. I said, you know, I have so much admiration for you people because you have businesses where 5,000 people that attend your facility, whether it's in the pits or whether it's in the grandstands, all know how to run your business better than you do, and you people have my ultimate respect. And this is a pretty huge deal, and I wonder, did you have a chance to talk to Lex and see where his vision of Evergreen Speedway is going to go?
I did. Understandably, with the season starting in just a few weeks, and probably the first thing everybody's going to want to wonder, Lex isn't going to make any changes, at least nothing major. As he termed it, it'll be the same people, the same program, you know, nothing outwardly will change as far as the fans are concerned. But he's excited. He told me he's been interested. He spoke to Mickey, I think, 4 or 5 years ago and said, hey, you know, that's something I'd like to do. And, of course, nothing came of it then. But I can tell Lex is excited. He understands that he has minimal experience, no experience as a promoter. And so he's going to be, I think, learning. He's going to be in learning mode a lot this year, but he's very excited about taking over. And, it just comes through talking to him. You know, he says he hasn't been sleeping much the past few weeks, anticipating, you know, he says, getting the opportunity to put this deal together. He says he told me it was an opportunity he couldn't pass up.
Scott, there's been, you know, over the years, it's always discussed about contracts with the county. And I, you know, mm-hmm. with no time to look into or do any research, because this news is just breaking to us off HeraldNet, what's left on the existing contract? Do you know, or do either you, Scott, or Carla, do you either know?
It runs through 2010.
Okay.
That would, it's, you know, it'll be interesting. Mickey's been out there for so many years, and mm-hmm. it seems like when he wants a contract, he gets it. And that's the only uncertainty, I guess, I would have at this point.
Well, yeah, and I would suspect, like I said, talking to Lex, I would suspect that this year, you know, he's going to be taking things in and learning, and, you know, maybe next year he may try to put a little bit more of his own stamp on things. Not sure. But yeah, then obviously then the year after that, then he's going to be competing, you know, possibly with somebody else for, you know, to continue the contract.
Yeah, Scott, when we heard this just a few minutes ago, I did get Terry on the line just to see if possibly he wanted to come on and share anything as far as his thoughts. And he declined right now, but he said go ahead and obviously share with what you did and to let people know that he's very positive and very excited about this. So good news from Terry Buell that he's very positive of what's happened.
Yeah, and like I said, Lex specifically told me, he said it'll be the same people. He says, you know, I'm not going in there to make changes. You know, he's going to be learning from those people who've been doing those jobs and know how to do them. And so I think from the fans' perspective, it's going to be transparent for the most part.
Scott, for many years, you know, out there racing, I've been, you know, friends with Mickey for many, many years. And not necessarily have I agreed with everything that's gone out there, and we know that racers. Yeah, we know with racers, like Steve said earlier, we can all do the job better than they can. Well, now it's put up or shut up time because, like I said earlier, Mickey's had that place for 30 years. He's known mm-hmm. all the strings to keep it running and operating. I'm on behalf of myself, and I'm sure all of us here at North Sound, we wish Lex and his crew the best on keeping that track going.
And also, if I might interject, the best to Mickey for
that's right.
You know, going out the way he wants to go.
And the little bit we know, and his bowling alley.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think we've seen the last of Mickey. He did say that he was going to stay around either as a consultant or as an employee of IPI.
Ooh, put him at the back gate.
That's right, at least for the opener.
He said, okay.
So he told me, he says, I haven't missed an opener in 30 years, and I'm not going to start now.
Oh, wow.
And he also said that one of the things that he's interested in doing is he would like to look into an auto sports museum for the region.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
See, he could do that.
You know what I think would be cool? To see Mickey selling programs for a dime a piece like it would make me do.
He would do the 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on with us. Carla, go ahead.
I just wanted to interject real quick. Scott, I looked at your page at the HeraldNet. So if you go to heraldnet.com, check on the sports, and then click auto racing, you've got a lot on there and a lot of breaking stories. It's a great place. So fans, definitely take a look at Scott's page there, and you're going to find the latest.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'll tell you what, I hate to do this because I hate it when people do it, but I'm going to follow up with John Zaretsky tomorrow because he claims he's going to tell me what he's going to do, and so you can check tomorrow.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll know what John Zaretsky is going to do for this season.
Yeah, I read your article on there. It's not because of money or lack of cars; it's just making up his mind what he wants to race.
Yeah, and I got, as a matter of fact, while I was emailing my story on Mickey to the paper. An email popped in, and it was from John, and he said, hey, call me because I've got the scoop. And I sent him an email back. I said, you know, John, I'm all out of scoops today. I've been working this thing all day. I'll call you tomorrow.
Good for you.
So, yeah, it's heraldnet.com/autoracing, and all kinds of good stuff on there.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, Scott. I know this all kind of came together with what, in about the last 15, 20 minutes when I called you, and I really appreciate you coming on with us, and good job. It's going to be this, I think the internet is just going to be going absolutely ballistic tomorrow. So, you know, the one thing I want to keep in mind, to all the people who want to start getting on the Mickey Beetle bashing bandwagon, just keep in mind that that guy has kept the racetrack open for 30 years. And in these times and, you know, the economy and the volatility of the business that he chose to operate in for 30 years, kept it going. It opens up every day, every start of the season. And Mickey Beetle deserves every good accolade that he can possibly have.
Absolutely. You only need to count the speedways that have folded in the last couple of years to realize how lucky we are to have had the Beetle family.
Yeah.
So close to home.
Yeah, exactly.
And he may be the first inductee to his very own Hall of Fame.
Hey, sure. We'll start a North Sound Racing Hall of Fame. We'll put him in first.
Oh, there we go.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Thanks, appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
All right. That is huge, huge stuff. So, wow.
Yeah.
We got it. We did it. Nice job,
cool.
You guys.
What a show we got.
I know. This is so cool. And you know, we were all talking today, man. We're going to have a blast tonight. This is going to be fun. On to our regularly scheduled program. We have brought in a gentleman by the Tim McDougall is the name. Go ahead and flash into that.
There we go. You got a light now.
Yeah. Now, does he have the arrow pointing the right way?
He's got the arrow pointing the right way, but I don't know. I think he could handle it either way.
Oh, that's true. Tim McDougall represents the Limited Late Model Racing Series based out of Tacoma or Olympia, is it, Tim?
Well, I guess you'd call it Spanaway.
Spanaway, it's where it's at. Tell us about your series, and we want to see some good things come out of that this year.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to a good year. 2007 was the first year for this new series. It started out by Rusty Boyette. Those who have been around the South Sound Speedway area for a while would know the Boyette name. They've ran down there for a few years. Rusty put the series together just out of a desire to do some traveling. And, you know, Galen, you can probably attest to late models are getting expensive. So we're trying to put the cheap back in them. We're running stock clip cars. The rest of it's your basic late model stuff. We run a real cheap tire. It's the new tread recap radial that Spanaway Speedway used to run. We got a good program going with new tread. They're really supporting us. So the tire's cheap. They last a while. Mm-hmm. They don't hold big horsepower, so that keeps us from spending too much on the engine. And then we just do a little touring, and we have a lot of fun.
How many races do you have?
This year we've got 8 races scheduled. We're running Ephrata twice, Port Angeles twice, Wenatchee twice. That's a new track for us this year. We're going to Yakima once. That's another new track for us this year. And then we're making a return to Roseburg.
Wow.
Seemed to, looking at your website, looking at the list of the cars, you've got some pretty good-looking stuff on there. Where do the guys pick up their cars that run on this? Because I saw some Pontiacs on there, and,
yeah,
you and know, especially and like yours.
That's the thing about this series is, you know, it was put together out of a lot of guys like me. We don't have a real big budget, and we're kind of dragging out some of these older chassis and older cars that didn't really have a place to fit in anymore. You know, I mean, the chassis I'm running is, you know, almost 15 years old, so we're dragging out some older cars, and we're making them work again.
Tim, I'm always looking around on the internet and trying to find the next best deal. I've always felt, you know, the tires are what kind of really hurt the series for guys like you and me that just want to go race. And I know that you mentioned a little bit about the new tread tire, and I want to ask, is that kind of how you're gearing towards trying to keep the week-to-week expenses down to try to build car count?
Yeah, that tire is a big factor in our series. It costs us $35 a tire. If you can find me a late model series that's $35 a tire, I mean, come on. And then they last, you know, they don't go away on you after one race. I'll attest to last year we made an entire 7 race season on 6 tires.
Wow.
Did the I followed your series more towards the end of last year and also the iCar series. Is there any like combined races or anything coming up?
You know, that's an interesting point. We do have a pretty close set of rules with the iCar and then also the Big Sky Pro Racing Association mm-hmm. out of Montana. And at the end of the year, this year, we're going to do a 3-way series shootout over at State Line Speedway. Joe gave us a date over there. He's dubbed it the Slobber Knocker 100. So
that's one of Steve's kind of races.
Yeah.
And it's just a real simple rules format. Anybody who is a points holding driver in any one of those three series is eligible for that race, and you have to fit your series rules and come on over, and we're going to crown a limited king.
Very cool. And you guys do your own self-policing in your organization? And
we do.
Yeah.
Our series, you know, we've had a hard time finding some people to help out with tech and stuff, and it's hard to get people to come out for free, you know. So what we've done is we put our names in a hat, and we draw names at the end of the night, and those are our tech guys.
Oh, wow.
So you kind of police everybody else's car.
You know, I've shared with Carla on many occasions that in my belief that for somebody to really turn around the car counts and things like that, somebody's going to have to think out of the box a little bit. And
yeah, that's true.
The week-to-week expenses is what's really hard. You know, we've talked about crate engines, and we've talked about all these ways to really limit the expense in racing. It's the week-to-week is what kills you. And, I mean, you know, by doing this tire thing that you're talking about, and I know iCar is trying to do the same thing. They have a little bit different tire rule. I sure like the idea of the direction you're going. Want to congratulate and wish you guys luck. I also want to give you the opportunity to say thank you to your sponsors, and I know there's a certain lady out there that's listening by the name of Kathy. Gotta get her in there because I know she's listening.
I'm sure she's,
I know
listening.
She's listening.
Yeah, I do want to touch on that weekly cost thing that you mentioned. You know, like I said, the tires are cheap, but also we've tried to schedule our races in a 3-week interval to give the guys a little bit of a break. That way we're not traveling every week or every other week. It give you a little time to fix your car, not have to pay that tow bill to get to the next race every single week. So that kind of helps keep it down as well.
And are there some people you'd like to thank?
Yeah. On my own personal team, I'd like to thank all of my crew for the help that they do. And then my sponsors, we've got a couple new ones this year. KMB Design Groups out of Olympia, they've returned with us this year. Ringers Gloves has come on board this year. We're pretty happy to have them aboard. Moritzen Enterprises, RPM Sales and Service, Rick Hager over there, he's a great guy. And I can't even think of the rest of them. But Old West Graphics out of Milliken, Colorado. They're doing all of our graphics stuff this year, so we're pretty happy about that.
I'm looking at the series track records on the Limited Late Model Racing Series site, which, if you want information, it's LLMRRacing.com. Our guest, Tim McDougall, holds the track record at Port Angeles Speedway. That's not an easy thing to do, as I'm sure both Galen and Carla can attest to.
We're still hunting for that first win there.
This year.
You go.
That's right. I'm gunning for it this year.
Tim, thank you so much for coming up. I'm sorry we kind of had to cut your time short on this Evergreen Speedway deal.
Yeah,
but it was huge news. You're welcome to hang around and listen for a while, see how it's done. We have got more guests than one show should be allowed to have. We've got Tom Glitherow, and we have Rob Estes from the Action Machine. And it's also a neat announcement is that Action Machine and Action Auto Parts is back on board with North
Great.
Sound 1380. So we are going to be presented by Action Auto Parts and Machine for the rest of the season. We also have Tracy Brandenburg coming up from Pacific Raceways. We also have the long-suffering Joe Benedetti coming up with her. We also have an interview that Carla and Galen did with a couple of their friends back east in the sprint car world. The World of Outlaws PR director is going to be on with
and
us.
Taylor
Malsom?
Yes.
Yeah, so Taylor Veneziano is going to be on us, and we're going to wrap up the show with an interview with really a cool guy by the name of Doug Rice. If you listen to our Sprint Cup race last week from Las Vegas, you heard Doug Rice a lot because he is one of the co-anchors. He's also the president and general manager of the Performance Racing Network, and came in early, 7:30 yesterday morning I was in here. And the cool part is that when you email Doug, his email address is DougRice@LowesMotorspeedway.com. That's
Ooh.
How he's so cool. That's where his offices are. Also, a couple of things I need to pass on before we take our first break. We often mention, and guess who forgot to turn the internet on, but I'm
going to
right away. Sandblasters Incorporated is our internet sponsor, and I just found out yesterday that Warren had a slight medical malady in the form of a stroke. Warren is okay.
Good.
He's going okay. He's still got some tests to go, but Warren is going to be back. And at the Seattle Roadster Show, apparently Warren got invited to a dinner, and Warren got inducted into the Washington Hot Rod Hall of Fame.
How cool.
So congratulations to Warren Kindle. Another thing, on a sad note, one of my favorite guitar players passed away. His name is Jeff Healy, the blind guitar player out of Toronto. So to take us out, this is how good this guy was. So we'll be back after this messages. Tom Glitterow. And all we're going to do is let Tom just talk about whatever the hell it is he wants to talk about.
Oh, I had questions.
Oh, you did? No questions.
Okay.
It's all Tom all the time. So listen to some Jeff Healy. We'll be back after these messages. North Sound Racing presented by Action Auto Parts here on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.